even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 443, the box office report for the week ending January 13th. Thanks for making it.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Or no, Sunday the 13th.
We had a lot of snow here.
Man. Yeah. It's
like a lot of times people that live in snowier
right.
climes.
It's like, almost like when it snows in Texas and they close everything
right.
for half an inch. We're like, you wussies.
But we had like a foot of snow.
We did.
Like that's like a lot of times we get like 3 or 4 inches, which is a goodly amount for us.
Right.
But the people that live in like Minnesota or Montana.
Just like whatever.
Are like, go F yourself.
Right. I do like when I think J.C. Corcoran posted that the guy from the Weather Channel was here.
Yeah.
He's like, now you know we're in some stuff.
Right. Yes.
When he shows up.
Yeah. When the Weather Channel's like, oh, that's going to be.
Yeah. We should go there.
That's going to be a crap show.
Yeah.
And it was. Yes.
Yeah. Did you see the amount of crashes and fatalities?
800 and something crashes, 4 fatalities
yeah.
across Missouri.
And that was reported yesterday morning. I mean,
yes.
That was over one night,
yes.
one
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Well, jeez. I left work on Friday at like 2 o'clock and because where I work is owned by county government.
Sure.
And they close the county for non-essential employees.
That's me.
And if you can find somebody less essential than me, hat tip.
Hope the government doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. They know. They know I'm not essential. And but so I left. So I went to do the radio thing that I do, and I left there at 2 o'clock.
Left the radio or left work?
Left the radio. So I left Westport Plaza, which is, for people that aren't familiar with where I live and where that is,
it's probably for the best.
Which is for the best. That's normally about a 17-minute drive, and it took me almost an hour and a half. That was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I heard 4 hours for people leaving at work normal times.
It took me an hour to get from my house to work.
Let's just say
usually a 15-minute drive.
I have these big cups that I drink my soda out of that look like the big giant glasses you used to get at Pizza Hut a million years ago.
Yep.
That and
did you pee in one?
Let's just say it's a good thing one was already empty.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. I'm just like,
you're like Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Just pee and he's like, wait, you see them?
Just go.
Yeah.
Stuck to his back.
Was the guy takes a drink out of it? What was that guy's name? He was a comedian. Harlan Williams?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Takes a drink out of it and he's just like,
ugh. You're talking about the earlier time, the beer bottle.
Beer bottle.
Sorry, because when he's on the motorcycle or the moped,
he pees on, right.
Just go.
He stands
go.
Up and he's stuck to him.
But Harlan Williams walks
he's
up.
Like, he's give me a drink of one of those.
I love that.
He's like,
go,
oh, no.
Go.
He goes, oh, no, I filled it up. He's like, what do I do? He's like, pinch it off. What do you mean, pinch it off?
I was just thinking about that guy the other day. I actually Googled him because I'm like, where has he been lately? You know, like,
did he get in trouble? No,
I didn't think he did, and I didn't read that. I just did a real quick.
He was
search,
a stand. He did stand up for a while.
Yeah. I mean, remember in Half Baked, it was him,
oh,
and Jim Brewer,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Dave Chappelle, and he was in a lot of little.
Was he in there? Something About Mary?
Oh, maybe.
I can't remember.
What was the one? Was there one before that? No, that was there.
I don't remember.
He was in that.
Yeah.
But that was
there like a guy who gets arrested who's like driving his car and he gets arrested. He gets pulled over for something or
he,
I feel like he was that guy.
It could have been.
That sounds familiar.
He looked like Kramer. Like, he had the same hairstyle as Kramer. He had kind of the same shtick for a while. Who else? Was it Stephen Wright? Stephen Wright's in Half-Baked. Stephen Wright's the guy on the couch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought you knew him. No, I don't know.
Yeah, it's great.
So we should probably go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Don't forget, shameless plugs, we're available on Apple Podcasts where you can go there, rate, review, subscribe. You should do that because we haven't had a review in a while, you lazy bastards.
Just read one for the Peloton.
We stalled out. Every listener has left a review. We're all out.
You know, the problem is that we actually reviewed Rock Dog, and now we have nothing to threaten them with. What's the new? Oh, we'll review replicas if they don't do it.
Oh, well, you're in luck.
So
don't tell them that. They might listen to this and then go review it. Yeah, we're going to review replicas if you don't review, folks.
Yeah. So they'll want us to. They like it when they're not good. So also don't forget, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. You can join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the League of Show Sharers this week are Librarian Cynthia, Lane Levanway, Chris Sanders, Griffin Fox Smith, Timmy Tuzoons. Is he still down to one?
I think he's down to one.
Yeah. Did he get it? He didn't find a replacement? They can't be expensive.
I'm telling you, we need to get that.
There can't be many left.
That fundraiser back up and going. Get him that other. But I mean, how much are they? $25 on eBay?
I threw in 10. Nobody else.
I mean,
any
if
money.
They can raise $14 million for a wall, I feel like we can raise.
Don't even get me started on your comment war.
Hey,
GoFundMe actually returned my $10 the other day.
Did they really?
Because nobody else. just to be clear, so there's no confusion. For
sure,
his zooms, yeah, not right, for the wall.
Right. No, did they attach the note "womp womp" on
it? Yeah,
you tried.
Yeah, so they said quit doing joke posts.
Yeah.
But
just
sometimes
like,
it's
like the wall.
Yeah, sometimes it's just joke posts where he's $14 million for a wall. Oh, boy. Other people who shared: Tammy Sherman Powers, Julianne Jordan, Travis Tewitt, Brent Smith, Chris Magic Man, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Tom Kaminsky, Ron Johnson, Jason Weesey, Ralph Tribble, Chris James, Troy Anspaugh, Brad Hyen, and Richard Lawson. So, because he shared...
the box office?
No, he shared...
Bumblebee?
Bird Box? Was he on Bird Box?
No, he was not.
No, Chris was on Bird Box. He shared Bird Box. So
okay.
I let him in.
Because there were three this week,
I'm
so you're right.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because I also don't want him thinking he snuck one by me.
Right.
Because he didn't. You didn't.
You didn't, Brad. You didn't.
Yeah.
That was a close one, guys.
I'm better than that. I am better than that. So I guess there are all your shameless plugs. We will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And this weekend, whoa, this is a surprise to me. The Upside, starring Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart, you know, this was shelved for like a year because it was set to be released like a month after the Weinstein stuff broke out.
Oh.
And it was a Weinstein movie, and they ended up selling it off. I don't know how much they sold it for, but STX Entertainment picked it up, and apparently they spent like $30 million in marketing. I would love to know what they bought the film for, but it made $19 million opening weekend. So, you know, I guess they're probably happy with that. I was worried that, you know, because there's still a lot of controversy around it, and there's even more controversy now.
Well, right, because
it was his tweets.
Oh,
well, no,
I was
Bryan Cranston.
Because Bryan Cranston plays someone who's a quadriplegic.
Who's not a quadriplegic.
You know, but...
Right. So you've got Kevin Hart controversy, you've got
I feel like the quadriplegic thing is an issue.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but how many actors of Bryan Cranston's caliber?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're, I mean, but name them if you know them,
but the counter argument to that would be, well, they don't get the opportunity to become names because they're quadriplegics.
Totally valid.
The counter argument to that is, how many roles for quadriplegics are there? The counter argument would be, well, when you finally have one, why didn't we get it?
I mean,
so it's like, I get the argument, but I also am like, at some point, acting is just going to become a hate crime.
Yeah.
But that's my point. I'm not trying to be insensitive or anything, and it may come off the way, but my point is, though, that this is acting, and I think even Bryan Cranston defended himself, you know, and he actually addressed it, and you know, he's a good guy. Like, it's, I mean, I think he did it well.
Yeah,
I remember reading like a little blurb of what he said, but it's like, you are acting, and so when there's any role, I mean, to Tom's point, and he said it before, how are you going to cast the exact same? I mean, oh, you have a half of whatever in your blood, so you can't play a full, you know, Blooded.
Well, that was the, Meryl Streep has made a career. She's got like 600 Oscars because she could do all these different accents for places she's not from and heritage she does not have.
She just played a Russian woman in the new Mary Poppins. Are we going to go all
That was the Ruby Rose complaint when they cast her as Batwoman.
And she wasn't lesbian
She
enough.
Wasn't gay enough.
Yeah.
For the it's just like
because she identifies as bi instead of being full, like
right, like just,
where
do you draw the line?
I can't, you know, and I think a lot of our listeners are level headed. You know, there's a lot of times where we say something or we tiptoe, and the listener's like, "Yeah, no, you're good." Like this is getting crazy. Like I think most of our listeners will understand what we're trying to say.
Yeah, think that if the role is written for a Korean, then a Korean should play
Speaking
it.
Speaking of which,
not in favor of blackface. Like, but it's at some point it's like, well, he plays a cab driver, and there's so many cab drivers that are looking to break into the industry.
Right.
I just
I'm sorry, the train movie with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
So you cast the real soldiers from the event, and look how that turned out for everybody. Because they're not actors. Were they the people for the job? It's the same argument, really. It's like, they are.
For the real life job, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's but are they, who would be best suited to play soldiers that stopped this attack? Oh, the soldiers that stopped the attack?
Right.
Okay, and did that work out? So it's there's a point to not casting the people, and it's not because you're trying to be offensive. It's because there are trained actors that have a career of acting and getting into roles. And there's method acting. And, you know, think about Daniel Day-Lewis. Sorry, Joe. But, you know, I mean, he gets into those roles, and it's like, holy crap, can he play whatever he, you know, gets into the role character of. But I mean, what if you would have cast the real people in all those roles he played? Do you think they would
have
turned
out? Because
they're all dead. No, they're not all dead.
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, you got me. He's only played Abraham Lincoln. You got it. But, you know, it's just like there are actors, and that is their profession, and the real people.
I thought it was weird when Abraham Lincoln could only use his left foot.
Right.
Strange, like, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Throwing around a tomahawk. I didn't really get
it. But it worked.
It did work.
Well, inspired, but by a true story.
Yeah.
Inspired.
Right, not based on it. Yeah. Inspired.
And then he joined that gang in New York.
Yeah.
And then after that war, he was a fashion designer, and it was just... It was a really weird.
Where was he? I thought he was a shoemaker.
Fashion designer. The Phantom Thread. Fashion designer.
But shoemakers are fashion.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not going to give it.
But
that
I did.
To
I did. I
he's
watched
a cobbler.
Yeah, he's a cobbler. That's what I thought.
He shrunk into an elf because he had.
He went through a certain. Like he had discs taken out of his spine so he could be smaller.
Yeah.
But I just watched Murder by Death.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's like a parody of like
Neil Simon thing, right? Isn't that Neil Simon?
I don't know. It was David Niven and Peter Falk and Peter Sellers, and Peter Sellers plays.
Oh, it's a comedy.
It's
Murder
comedy.
By Death, because that's a great title.
Yeah.
I'm just like what?
But it's the one where Peter Sellers plays like a Charlie Chan character, and it's just like I'm sitting there watching it and cannot believe that it is. On film.
Yeah.
And people don't talk about it.
It was written by Neil Simon.
Okay. And it's just like, what is happening right now?
But it was
now?
Basically like all the great detectives.
Yeah, they had like
are
Perot,
like trapped in a house and have to solve
and
a mystery.
Charlie Chan
something.
And a Sherlock Holmes character and
well,
an American detective, like American Gumshoe.
Yeah.
And they have to solve this
what
murder.
About Murder, She Wrote? Was she in there?
Well, this predates
Murder, She Wrote.
This is from like
Columbo?
76.
Columbo's in it. Peter Falk is in it.
Peter Falk is in it, but he's playing like a Bogart character, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's great.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
76. Damn, nailed it. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But the Peter Sellers thing is just like, holy guacamole.
Although, in fairness, if you're going to portray Charlie Chan on screen, that's how they did it.
That is. It is very true.
But like, if you're making fun of that genre, that is what they did.
And
now, I don't think that's what they were going for.
No, I don't.
But yeah.
Did you say Hercule Poirot is in it?
A character.
Oh.
A version of that character.
Does he have that mustache?
He does have that mustache.
But does he have the Branagh mustache?
No.
Because
he's got like the twisty one on the sides.
That Branagh mustache is otherworldly. Oh,
they just took like a brush. Yeah.
Did he get the Oscar for that? Like, I mean, that
Kurt Russell's like, God damn.
Yeah, that mustache like, into his beard, whatever he did, like that thing was insane.
Yeah.
The double mustache.
He had like the chops.
Yeah, it was incredible. Mustache of the Year award right there.
I don't know. I give it to Kurt Russell all the time.
Of course you do. Sorry.
But all the characters.
Kurt Russell's is natural. That's, yeah.
It was like Watchmen. Like, all the characters were not Batman, but you knew who was supposed to be Batman. It was like that. So, like,
it was Blue Beetle.
Yeah, right. Like, it was like Peter Falk. I had the cast play Sam Diamond.
Right.
Who was supposed to be, like, Sam Spade.
Okay.
And then Peter Sellers is Sidney Wang.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not Charlie Chan.
And so it's all sorts of
cool. Well, that sounds fun. Is it good?
It's a silly dumb, fun but movie. It's been years since I've seen it, so I don't know how well it holds up. But
it's very young Frankenstein-ish.
Yeah, I mean, that's
young Frankenstein.
No, Frankenstein.
Frankenstein?
No, he says Frankenstein. That's the joke, Kevin.
Because that's changed. What I know. That's what he was doing.
I know.
But
no, Igor.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's an interesting comparison, and that now that I think about it, that's probably what got this movie made.
Probably. Like, it's very similar in the humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Alec Guinness is in it?
Hmm. There you go.
And it's written by Neil Simon, who used to work with Mel Brooks.
Right.
On your show of shows.
That makes complete sense then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's what that is.
So, anyway, The Upside made that $19 million. So, I don't know. It's hard to, with all the financial stuff, I don't know exactly, you know, with the budget and how much they bought it for and whatever. But it came in higher than what I would have expected with the controversy. So, we'll see what that continues to do. You didn't see it, did you?
I did, actually.
You did?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
How is it?
It's exactly like what it looks like.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's fair. It's well done for what it is. It's definitely very by the book, and it's pulling on your heartstrings. But I thought Kevin Hart did a great job.
Did he?
You know, Bryan Cranston does most of the heavy lifting, ironically. And but Kevin Hart was really, I mean, not, you see a lot of the more Kevin Hardy moments in the trailer.
Okay.
But there's not as much of that in the film. Like, you see flashes of that, and when you do get it, it's appropriate. But no, I thought he did a good job. Like, overall, I enjoyed the movie for what it is. It's nothing I would have ever gone and seen on my own.
Had you seen The Untouchables before this?
I have not.
Okay.
Is that what this is?
It's remake of a French movie.
I was like, yeah, and the De Palma flick. It's great.
It's the Untouchables.
I stand by my statement.
Okay. Nash, that's the rock you want to die on. But
I'll die on The Untouchables, Droc.
But apparently, I mean, people love that movie.
It's recent though, right? Like 2014.
I think it's fairly.
I don't think
it's
semi recent. It's not. I don't know if it's that.
Did
recent,
they hire a French quadriplegic to play that?
I don't believe they did. I was looking at the IMDb for it the other day, and I did from the photos that I saw. I did not take that from the
Stephen Hawking.
He's not French, though.
That's true.
Well,
and,
that's
and he's dead.
Couldn't he would have been back then.
Couldn't he just type into his computer, change the language, and it would...
Look, if I can change the Siri accent on my phone, I feel like he can
Google Translate.
Out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, anyway, moving on to number two, Aquaman, with another $15.8 million, a 49% drop. It is up to $286.3 million in 5 weeks domestically. Joe, do you want to guess on an overseas total?
700.
287.
You're a little low, Tom.
We're doing Price is Right rules, right?
Oh. No, 713. You still lose.
Damn it.
$713.4 million, and that's the estimate before this weekend's totals are all in. So worldwide, it says 988. So I'm going to guess with the foreign final numbers,
it's going to be a billion.
Yeah, I mean, it's at $1 billion in 5 weeks.
The correction from the other week when I said it had beat The Dark Knight, it beat The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
That's what it is. Not The Dark Knight.
Well, yeah.
That's obvious. But it had beaten The Dark Knight Rises in its gross.
Do you think at Warner Brothers,
oh no,
they're kind of bummed that it's doing this well? That, like, if it had tanked, it would have been an easy answer. Okay, reboot the whole thing.
Oh, now they're stuck with the baggage.
But now they've got a popular Wonder Woman and a popular Aquaman, but they can't figure out how to make anybody else work.
It's crazy to think about, though. Like, so, like, Wonder Woman, you know, great character in the comics and whatever, but, like, as far as movies, you never really got that. So you get your first Wonder Woman, it's amazing. Aquaman is amazing, and it's like, what? And then Batman and Superman, they're like, oh,
yeah. Aquaman for years has been the punchline of, like, well, clearly that'll be
a joke.
That'll be a dumb movie.
Right.
Don't touch that one.
And then you're just like, on Entourage.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun.
The whole point of the Entourage thing with Vinny Chase playing Aquaman movie, that was a joke. Like, it was simply an Aquaman movie was the joke, period. Right. And like, it wasn't that it was a goofy Aquaman movie. James Cameron's Aquaman was like, oh my God, the live action Aquaman, $1 billion in 5 weeks.
I got to tell you, I would see a James Cameron Aquaman movie.
Well, sure. That's, I mean, with his tech and stuff, I'm sure it would.
At the rate he's going, I don't know if it would come out in your lifetime.
Oh, my God.
That's true.
You know,
four Avatar
movies.
I was looking
at his stuff that has been released that I own on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So Terminator and Terminator 2.
How many copies of Terminator 2 do you have?
Well, I have one now. How many have I bought?
Oh, did you clear them out?
Yeah. It's so stupid.
I was thinking how many copies I bought of that
thing. They've never released, in my opinion, his second best movie, True Lies. Never on Blu-ray.
Really?
Never.
Oh,
it's never been on Blu-ray.
One, yeah.
Ever.
Wow. And
that's
weird.
I feel like that is probably.
That movie is a blast.
That movie, I think it's better. I think it's, in my opinion, I like it more than Terminator 2.
Oh, wow.
I love
it's a lot of fun.
True Lies is a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
I looked it up and it's never been released on Blu-ray. I don't know.
Is it available on the streaming services like in HD?
Nope.
Wow.
So, is True Lies Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah. That's the scene where she's like
doing the striptease to
Arnold. And he's got like the talk boy behind his back where he messes it up. Yeah, it's.
I haven't seen that since VHS, and I guess.
That was actually, I think that may have been the first time I saw Jamie Lee Curtis, and I was like, hey.
Oh, man. That was before your love of Halloween, even?
Maybe. But I mean, like, she
you
was
weren't
not
born,
but
like,
she was
like,
not,
hey,
she
son,
was,
watch
look,
this VHS.
Look at Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween and Jamie Lee Curtis in True Lies.
She's not playing sexy
in
Halloween.
And that scene in True Lies, she is playing
so,
sexy.
Trading Places must have blown
Trading
your mind.
Places blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twice.
No one wanted to trade places with you after that.
No.
Not for a while, at least.
You know, just. Let me hang out for a minute.
Yeah. So anyway, Aquaman, $1 billion, 5 weeks. I mean, I think it deserves.
I feel
it
like,
was
but
a lot of fun.
To your point, I think this is their soft reboot. I mean, Wonder Woman had nothing to do with anything.
Picture.
Okay.
And this is a prequel.
This isn't a prequel.
Oh, that's right.
It's not though. Yeah.
Well, then explain to me the Justice League thing. Then,
yeah. That's the thing.
It's messy, is the problem.
The timeline is messy. Yeah.
I'll say this. The comic book nerds, they want their comic book movies to feel like comic books. What's more comic book-esque
than messy continuity?
Than messy continuity and screwed up timelines.
Nothing.
And then just erasing them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I feel like Shazam.
Flash needs to come back and be like, I tweaked this.
Yeah.
It's all different now.
Shazam is kind of, I think Shazam's a soft reboot. Like, that's the one that has nothing to do with anything. The Batman and Superman are mentioned that they exist in this world, but he's not a part of anything. He's on his own.
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't even have. I mean, it's a new character. They can throw him into whatever this new universe is they want. You know, it doesn't have to reboot.
He joins the new Justice League. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Superman and Batman are like, no, we're not doing it. He's like, we'll add Captain Marvel, Shazam.
It will be crazy to see what they do, how they introduce Batman and Superman to see after all this stuff.
But we're getting a new Batman.
I mean, we'll have to. I don't know how
he's supposed to start. That's supposed to start filming in November,
but that's not connected.
But that's
the reason Batman's not connected. It's
Batman, but
it's a standalone trilogy, so that doesn't matter. I'm saying I want to see how they
introduce it works.
Well, and they somehow shoehorn it. But the word is that it's standalone and it's a younger.
Really?
Yeah, it's like an origin.
I think that's
type.
Where they're starting to hedge their bets, and if it works, they'll
just
figure
like
out
the,
a way.
And they have this Joker that's a standalone, so it's like
they're just like, we have this Joaquin Phoenix thing, and it's. We're going.
Oh, so
they've got a standalone Joker movie that's unaffiliated, and they've got a standalone Batman movie that's unaffiliated. This is what you call in marketing an A/B test.
Yeah.
Which one works better? Or
if they
this
both
Joker
work,
this Joker works, this yeah, Batman yeah. works.
Bloop. Right. When is you Batman got, supposed to film soon?
November.
Who's Batman?
No idea.
It's like
no clue. I feel like that's something they should. Actually, somebody posted a picture.
You feel like that's something they should.
Did you
think
see the
about?
Picture that they posted of Annette Bening and Oscar Isaac? Did you see this?
No.
Okay, so there's a picture of Annette Bening and Oscar Isaac, and Annette Bening, who looks just like the police commissioner in The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Like, not that I'm sorry, The Dark Knight Returns, the comic.
Yeah.
The woman that takes over for Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
If you can find it, she is dressed almost identical. Same glasses, same overcoat. She's standing next to Oscar Isaac. Somebody's like, can I tell you how much I wish?
Just in real life?
Yeah,
she just happened to be wearing
or a... Or they may have been on the set filming something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that would be more of a like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
But like, they were filming tests? Like, just what's this look like?
Or they were just like, or they were filming something together anyway, and she just happens to be dressed that way. But somebody was just like, how much do I wish that this is... Batman. Like, this is the new Batman. I was like, yeah, let's do it.
You think Gyllenhaal could still do it?
No, he's Marvel.
Well, I mean,
I don't know. I honestly don't know if they will allow Marvel at this point. I don't know if they could, if Marvel has like a deal where it's just like, you're Marvel until X amount, until you've done X amount of appearances, you're a Marvel, you're locked into Marvel.
And then they never let you do that last one.
right.
Yeah.
Well, I would love him to be Batman. Like, that's, I think he'd be great. But I also think Oscar Isaac would be
a lot
of fun.
Could Oscar Isaac do it? I wonder, could he get the build to be like, I don't know.
You don't need the build.
I know Keaton didn't, but then it's like, but now people are so used to this. Like,
I don't. I think they could go away from the build.
You
could use the suit.
Yeah.
To make it look like he's bigger.
I just wonder if people this day is like, I'm not saying I'd be against it, but you know, now that Batman's a big, strong ass kicking Batman, I wonder what people would think of Oscar Isaac. That's just a very like lean
Batman. That Batman's gone.
Well, yeah. Hopefully. Interesting to see what they come up with, but if they're filming it this year, they got
long ears.
No, short ears.
I like long ears.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't know that I'd like them in real life, though. I like them in the comics.
Didn't the Keaton one have long ears?
No, it had normal ears.
Yeah. They didn't have this, like the.
They didn't have Terry Guinness long ears.
They didn't have the Frank Miller ears that they had in.
Well, yeah, they're not short, but they're.
Those are the ones I like.
That's what I think.
Nobody's done those really long. Yeah, they kind of arch together.
The Jim Aparo. Yeah.
But I did it first. They grew on me over time. Like, when I first started reading comics, I was like, ugh. And then the longer I read it, I was like, okay.
He's just poking
this.
People with
That's why I never got into Batman Beyond as a kid, because I'm like, ugh, those long ears. Ugh.
But I don't know that they would work in real life.
They would.
I think
not.
They would look.
It'd be weird.
I think they work on the page.
I've always liked the idea that they were antennas, like that he would pick up like.
Yeah,
radio
except these
signals.
Days you don't need that. You kind
don't
of need antenna.
That kind of. Right. It's true.
So anyway,
superhero
but,
corner.
Yeah, yes. we'll see what happens. Yeah, I mean, relevant with the Aquaman talk, but they're not displeased with that $1 billion.
No,
I'll tell you that
no.
much. Number three, A Dog's Way Home, one of two competing dog movies coming out in the near future here. A Dog's Way Home made $12 million, which, let's see, do we have a budget? $18 million. So apparently the same author has two dog movies coming out. Like, so there's one, I don't know if this is the one, there's one that looks exactly like Homeward Bound.
Yeah.
Which is
Isn't that this one?
I don't know the difference, but it's the same author. The guy sold two of his dog books.
He writes books, and they're only about dogs and dads.
Yeah.
Oh, like the same book, or one book's about a dog, one book is about a dad.
He's got a book called
He's got
a book called A Dog's Purpose. He's got a book called
A Dad's Purpose.
I'm not even making that up.
No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I think
he's the same guy that wrote the book that 10 Simple Rules for Dating My Daughter was based on.
Yeah, he is.
Like,
the John Ritter Show?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
at
then,
first,
and then he the other dog movie that came out, he wrote that book. What was the big dog movie?
Where the dog dies
over
and
over.
Yeah,
A Dog's Purpose.
Where,
that would turn into a movie. Yeah.
Where the dog dies over and over again. Yeah,
yes.
That's a thing where the dog dies over and over.
Yeah, it's like, and it gets reincarnated as another dog. So on
if
the,
you like John Wick,
yeah. On the one hand, you get to see like eight dogs die. On the other hand, you get to see like nine puppies.
So,
you know, but $12 million for a movie, and in dog dollars, that's $84 million. Like, that's
touche.
It's a massive hit.
They're doing great.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
But an $18 million budget. I don't know how long it is before the other dog movie comes out, but
next week.
But we'll have to see how much space there is, because like.
A Dog's Way Home is the one where the entire movie is
in the trailer.
Yes.
Is in the trailer.
Yeah, we saw it when we saw
it.
Like, down to like, the dog has made it back. Hooray.
it's like a 6-minute trailer. And I think Katie said the same thing. She turned to me and she goes, okay, well, that was the end. Like,
so what do we do now?
And also, it's like that. Okay, so that movie is Homeward Bound.
Yeah.
Which is what? The Incredible Journey? Is that what Homeward Bound's based on?
It was called Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
Yeah, but Disney, there was a movie called The Incredible Journey, and then Homeward Bound was the same movie remade.
Yeah.
Homeward, yeah.
Starring?
Michael J. Fox was the voice. And was Don Ameche one
he
of the
was?
Voices?
Yeah. And Sally Field. Yeah.
Huh, interesting. Yeah.
Sally Field
that
was
pretty good off the top of my head.
Yeah,
that was pretty
geez.
Good.
Michael J. Fox was Chance, and...
Oh, you definitely watched that as a kid, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That movie's good.
Yeah.
That's a fun movie.
Well, my theory on that trailer is that there are a lot of people that want to go see a dog movie,
yeah.
but they're like,
This better be happy. This effing dog better not die.
Right? Like
Marley and Me has messed some people up.
I've had people message me about a movie like, does the dog live? Because I won't see it if the dog dies. They're like, I don't care about spoilers. I got to know, does the dog live?
You just sent people to John Wick.
Yeah.
No, you're dog, like, dog's
nah,
fine.
Yeah. Nah, just go watch Where the Red Fern Grows.
Oh, I was thinking of the dog at the end of the movie. Whoops. Sorry.
I forgot about the puppy dog that gets smashed in the face, but no.
Oh, it's so sad. But anyway.
Have I got a movie for you. Old Yeller is fantastic.
So A Dog's Way Home.
Make
so.
It a double feature. Watch Sounder.
Yeah. $12 million on an 18, so we'll have to see what it continues to do in a couple weeks. So.
Because Glass is coming out next week. I checked.
I'm not sure that A Dog's Way Home and Glass are the same demo. But
no, probably not.
So coming in at number four is the movie of last week, Escape Room. $8.3 million is a 54% drop, so not as bad as a drop as I would have expected. People still turn up to it. $31.8 million on that one, and no money really overseas yet, so maybe it still has a few bucks to make. That's on a $9 million budget, though, so that's quadruple its budget in 2 weeks. That's a win. It's making money, so we'll see. Still holding strong. We'll see what it does next week. But talking about another movie holding over, number five, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and getting lots of awards, lots of critics' best animation awards. I really wonder if it could win the Oscar. You know? I mean, everyone favors Disney Pixar with Incredibles, too, but I wonder. I would love to see this or Isle of Dogs and not just give it to Pixar.
Don't give it to them just because they're Pixar.
But it won the Golden Globe, which I know that we kind of, you know, poo-poo that, but it's like a lot of critics groups, too, are giving it, you know, or several where it's like, wow, it could.
You know, Warner Brothers Animation is just like, oh, Christ, we got to figure something out.
Warner Brothers Animation was, oh, never mind.
So $7.5 million, a 43% drop in week five, $146 million domestic, and another 140 overseas. So there's another 50-50 split. We talk about the rare 50-50 split these days, but, man, people are turning out for that one. So approaching $300 million worldwide on a $90 million budget. That's another one that's doing well, and it's not going anywhere with all the buzz it's getting. So
Batman Beyond, that's what they should do.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Yeah, they should do Batman Beyond as like an animated feature.
Yeah, that's they should. I feel like it's. I mean, people love that enough.
It's
where
great.
I think it's time to, because think about how many versions of just Batman Bruce Wayne there are, but right. Really you've just got the comics and the TV show for Batman Beyond. They've never tried to either live action or a reboot of the animated. Like they could approach that again. I don't know what they're waiting on.
That's Bruce Tim and Paul Dini at their finest.
Yeah. Well, I prefer animated series, but yeah, I mean it's that crew. They're great. It's,
yeah, same guys.
Coming in at number six, On the Basis of Sex. That's the Ruth Bader Ginsburg. No, Joe, it's RBG.
Never mind.
Who's coming back to work soon.
She's back to work.
Well, I heard she left again, but then she was like completely cleared of cancer.
Yeah.
So she's like, going to be back full time.
Yeah,
That's a tough ride
right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you cannot keep her down.
No,
she's pretty amazing.
She also realizes what happens if she leaves.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'll stick around for four years.
This is the story. This is Felicity Jones as RBG. Did you see this, Tom?
I did.
Okay, isn't it good?
It's like the young adult version of RBG. Like it's very much like it's been hidden figureized.
I don't say that anymore. I don't even know if in 2018 I said that. It's been a long time, buddy.
But it's very much like a hidden figures type take on RBG.
Yeah.
It was well done. I think I would have liked something a little bit more nuanced, but overall I enjoyed it. I know some people are, it's the best movie ever, and I'm like, no, I think you like her.
Sure.
And it's a pretty good movie, but that's okay.
Right.
You know, but
best movie ever is.
It was not to that degree. Like I don't think there was anything in there that I really felt was like, oh, this has got to get an Oscar. Like
this is the guy from Star Wars?
From the Rogue One,
Felicity Jones.
Yeah, okay. And Army Hammer.
Mm. Army Stan Lee hater Hammer.
Suck hole of charisma, Hammer.
He plays her husband. I actually really liked him in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was he in where we're just like, what? Oh, Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened?
There were a lot of question marks. What happened? What?
He was not the problem.
Yeah, but what do you mean, what happened? We didn't know him before that.
Yeah, we did.
From what?
From Social Network.
Social Network.
Okay, but I mean, like, Winklevoss he wasn't. Twins. Yes, yeah. But it's like he wasn't. I mean, what did you know him in before Social Network? I mean, he was like, he had one role.
Your question was, what did we know him in before?
Okay.
Lone
My point is, I didn't go, oh my God, the Lone Ranger, he's fallen far from grace. Like, it was like.
He did after that movie, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, especially.
What was he in that we did like him in? Oh, he was in the
spy movie.
Man from Uncle.
Man from Uncle, yeah.
But we liked Henry Cavill in that, too.
I did.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen Call Me By My Name.
Oh, yeah.
It's just boring. I've never seen it.
It's so slow. I mean, it's just such a slow story. It's like them just hanging out in Italy, you know, for 2.5 hours or whatever. You know what I mean? It's a snooze fest. I mean, it's a good-looking movie and good performances, but and I just didn't buy the relationship between the two guys. So, like, you're supposed to feel for these characters and what they're going through, and, like, I didn't buy the two of them. And so, I don't know. It just kind of, a lot of people love it, but I don't know. Not a fan, but you're very slow. I think you'd be falling asleep. So, number 7, Mary Poppins Returns, another
a big drop, though. Wasn't it number 2 last week?
Oh, geez. I don't know. Was it high?
Well, yeah. It was pretty high, yeah.
Kids are back to school. So,
that is true.
Mary Poppins Returns, $6 million, a 62% drop. It is at $149.4 million, and let's see, $119 overseas. So, we're up around $275 on a $130 million budget. So, making its money back just barely here, but Tom tells me a sequel's in the works.
I saw a thing saying they're already working on
the director said that they're working on developing. Yeah. So, it's not like an official announcement, but the director says we're working on one. So. Huh. We shall see what happens with that. But did you see Bob Iger got a nice raise?
Yeah,
sure he did.
$2 million.
Your box office is what, you know.
Yeah, I mean, geez. I mean, that guy. So, like, he made, I think, $50 million last year, and maybe it was, like, 30 the year before. No, he made 70 the year before, then down to 50, now up to 82 or something.
That's,
jeez.
I mean, but when
a
you're...
year.
It's almost like I wouldn't even know what to do.
That's it's you just know? So much
you'd,
money.
You'd figure something and you, out. Probably.
You know all those comic books that you've been eyeing? The real expensive ones?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You'll be buying.
Let me get that Action Comics.
You know that
one.
Batman Beyond movie you want to make?
Yeah, I'll make it.
Yeah.
Green light it.
But
not at Disney, you wouldn't.
No, that's true.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I wonder how long that guy will stick around. I mean, it seems like he's doing a pretty good job.
As long as they're paying him $82 million a year.
But, I mean, they fired the last guy, right? Who was the guy before Iger? They fired the last guy before him because Disney wasn't doing too well, and he took over.
Who was that guy?
Do you want Michael Eisner?
Michael Eisner.
Was it? Yeah.
Well, Michael Eisner, there's a whole trajectory there. Michael Eisner saved that company.
Okay.
Now, at the end, like, he had become very stuck in his ways and had lost a lot of support because, you know, there was this kind of shift in the industry, and he didn't really seem to be up to speed on what to do with that. And so it didn't end well for Michael Eisner.
Yeah.
But in fairness, in the 80s, when that company was a joke,
that's true.
When Mickey Mouse was synonymous with something as cheap and crappy.
Oh, really?
I mean, when people used to say, like, oh, that's some Mickey Mouse BS or whatever.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah,
true.
I mean, like, that used to be a
that's
thing.
That's true, yeah, Mickey Mouse stuff.
Yeah, and so...
Isn't that what Tommy Wiseau says?
Maybe.
That's Mickey Mouse stuff.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
And so, I mean, in that era, he stepped in and turned that company around. I mean, he's the guy that oversaw
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
The Renaissance,
And Beauty and the Beast and realized the value of the parks and started pouring money back into the parks.
And not a single reported scandal.
Yeah, and he got Wonderful World of Disney back on television.
Yeah, that's right.
Saw
that's
the value of that.
He was
I think
the,
they acquired ABC and ESPN under his tenure, I think.
Well, you can't deny the 80s and the 90s and the power of Disney and that renaissance. So, yeah, I just remember at the end it was like,
at the end,
not
he
happy
was
with,
being, like, he was being a stubborn son of a bitch and was like, well, we don't need Pixar and just let it go away. And was prepared to just let Pixar spin off and to be its own studio. And I think that was when people
because one was going to take Toy Story and one was going to take... They were talking about who would get what.
Toy Story and Cars.
So they own the right... Disney owns the rights to all of the Pixar characters.
Right.
So, like, Pixar could have went off and made new movies, but they couldn't have used any of the established Pixar characters. And so...
So at that point, you had what?
So you had Disney feature animation. They had put into pre-production a Toy Story 3.
Wait. And Eisner was around for Toy Story 1 and 2?
Yeah, I'm almost positive. He
would have had to be, but Iger wasn't around in the mid-90s. That's when Toy Story was.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Iger's newer than that. That's 20... It's 20 something years ago. Yeah, Iger hasn't been the CEO for 25 years. It was Eisner.
He left Disney in 2005.
Yeah, okay. So 10 years after this. Yeah, so I mean, he was. But yeah, that would have been a mess if they would have split.
Oh, it would have killed Disney in some form.
Well, what would Disney have done with those? So Disney would make Toy Story movies then?
Yeah, because they owned the rights.
Right. So it's like, so Pixar would be doing, you know, The Good Dinosaur. The and well, if not, no, if they owned them.
He's because saying, anything.
What year did that come out?
Anything pre-2005, I guess, if we're talking Michael Eisner. Yeah. Like anything that was made by Pixar
and produced by Disney
and distributed by Disney owned those characters, which is why
as a distributor get the rights to the characters.
Why? Because Pixar wanted distribution and they wanted the Disney umbrella and they didn't have any leverage at that point.
Oh, so that's the deal they signed. Yeah,
and so that's why famously when they came to Eisner and said, "Okay, our next movie," which at the time would have been last movie,
this is the Cars
under the Disney deal,
right?
They were like, we can either do Cars. We can do Cars or Toy Story 3,
right?
And Eisner said, "Give me Cars."
Those toys are still on the freaking shelves.
Yeah,
like I'm just saying, years.
Lightning
after
McQueen is
because he was like, one, I know I can sell a bunch of toy cars. That's easy,
right?
And two, he's like, I already own the rights to the Toy Story characters.
So if I want
to
do one, I'll do
one.
I'm
going to get rights to one more group of characters that you guys created before you go out the door.
It's just unbelievable, though. I mean, that is a genius idea. And because after Cars came out, it was several years between that and Cars 2.
Yeah.
And I would go to the store, and I'd be like, here's the third Christmas coming up, or at least 2 years after Cars. And it's like Cars toys on the shelves. And 2's coming out, there's still Cars 1. And then Cars 2 came out, and there were still Cars 2 toys 3 years after Cars 2. And then now it's Cars 3. But
well,
that movie's
Cars,
been out.
Cars 3 was just like, hey, we have new paint jobs.
Yeah.
So we get new
here's
toys.
A yellow one, here's a blue one.
But I mean, he knew that, like, that's our own brand of Hot Wheels. Like,
oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah. That's genius. But
Iger's been with Disney since 96.
In one form or another.
Yeah. He was president of Capital Cities /ABC. Disney acquired it. Mm-hmm. He remained president until 99 and then just continued to work with Disney. Looks like through the present day.
It'll be interesting to see like how long he sticks around. I mean, he's making good moves. Disney is flourishing. I just wonder how
is he's making. I mean, he's making the right moves.
Yeah,
you know, like when he the Fox deal and the Lucasfilms and Marvel, like those are. I don't know what else they could buy at this point. I mean, they've got the Muppets. They've got, you know, everything basically. I honestly don't know what else they could do.
I'm so excited. I mean, it's 2019. They said the ink will be dry at the beginning of 2019.
Yeah, it's done.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do with that Fox deal?
I honestly think the Fantastic Four shows up in some form in the Avengers. Like, that's the one. I mean, obviously, I think the X-Men / Wolverine are probably the more popular choice, mm-hmm. like, because they're the most recognizable, because they're the ones that have had movies
Bart Simpson as an Avenger.
Totally. I mean, they could put some Bart.
He can fight. Don't have a cow man.
Well, I mean, he's got Bartman, right? So it's like
eat my shorts.
Yeah, he's got Bartman. So there's a superhero right there. He shows up.
But yeah, I mean, there's an X-Men movie coming out this year. $200 million budget.
Plus, that's probably not even including all the reshoots.
That is including the reshoots.
It is including
reshoots. Yeah.
Okay.
But still, that's a huge budget on the third part of a trilogy that's all that well received.
I started watching Waterworld for the first time last night. I've never seen it.
$700 million budget. No, I don't.
$150 million budget in 95.
Could you imagine
$150 million and it made like 20 something? You know, like low twos,
right?
In that day and age, like because they built that.
Is that
set.
Who directed
That's
that?
That's why was Kevin Reynolds.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't Kevin.
But
Costner?
Wasn't that the question if Costner directed it?
Yeah,
I was trying to tell Katie
they were buddies. Yeah. And Kevin Reynolds like co-wrote Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, they're like a duo. They've been together.
But that was where they fell out, I believe. Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of controversy and a lot of, you know, it didn't get praised critically, but like I always heard that story that like did Costner direct it and they put Kevin Reynolds on it, kind of a thing.
Just to get
Yeah, but it's like they built that water set. It's like insane. That's why it's $150 million, and because I mean that is a huge set.
It's
how
huge
much water
set.
That takes, and it's just
I love that Drew. No, when he's doing Perot,
what
Garth?
Dana Carvey?
Dana Carvey. Yeah. He's like, Waterworld?
Oh.
The guy drinks his own urine? Yummy, yum, yum. No,
I'm like, what?
Yeah, he has like a whole sket of like, if Perot went to the movies and he's talking about Waterworld and he drinks his own.
Oh, that's funny.
Wasn't that Jack Black's first movie?
I thought the cable guy was his.
I thought the Jackal was.
That might be right. And that's a Costner movie, right?
No, it's Bruce Willis and Richard
Gere. Oh, that's
Gere.
Bruce Willis? Yeah. Oh, yeah. What am I thinking of with Costner? He was in something. But first time I saw him was the cable guy. Remember when he was Matthew Broderick's friend?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
his buddy that he plays basketball with. He jumps off his back.
Or is I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
I don't know. But do you remember Jack?
I do remember that. Yeah, I forgot.
Jack Black
that.
Is the friend in the cable guy.
I did not realize.
That's trying to tell Matthew Broderick, like,
this guy is a wacky
dude. He's researching him, and he finds out that he's got a fake or like the fake name and everything. But that was the first time I ever saw Jack Black.
Underrated movie.
I really like it.
I hated it when
people
it first
when it
came
released
out,
didn't like it. I always loved it. I went back and watched it. I'm like, I love this movie.
But now that
I've
watched
creepy,
it,
man.
It's very creepy. Yeah.
Apparently, his first movie was Bob Roberts.
Okay.
And he was in some TV stuff before that, an episode of The Fall Guy.
What was
really?
His first known movie?
The Fall.
Well,
he was
Bob Roberts is a.
Okay, wait, I never saw.
He was in The Fall Guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Bob Roberts was directed by Tim Robbins, and it was like he played a super conservative presidential candidate who also had like folk songs, and so he would do folk songs like "The Times Are Changing Back."
Oh,
and I remember when it came out, it was a big deal because I think John Cusack was heavily involved in the production of it as well.
Huh. As an actor, or is it like
as a
behind the scenes?
As behind the scenes, he has a brief cameo, but like he had, they would refuse to release a soundtrack because they were afraid that people would use the songs non-ironically. They refused to release a soundtrack.
You mean like when a Republican uses Rage Against the Machine,
right? Without but I think the character actually originally appeared on an episode of SNL. It's technically an SNL spot.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, wow.
And then so his first
was in
Airborne.
Yes, that's Seth Green and the inline skating movie.
Ah, and then he was in Demolition Man.
Okay.
Then some more TV work, then The Never Ending Story 3, but that could have been voice work.
Yeah.
No.
I've never seen it. I don't know.
Yeah.
He could have been, maybe he was the Jonathan Brandis character.
Bye Bye Love, and then Waterworld.
Okay. Hmm. And then The Jackals after that.
And then an episode of The X-Files.
I guess I haven't gotten to him yet. I only watched half, not because I wasn't enjoying
it. He did
it,
a lot of crappy TV.
Hmm. Yeah.
Touched by an Angel, The Single Guy.
You gotta do. Ooh, the Jonathan Silverman show.
Yeah, Northern Exposure, although that's not crappy TV.
No, that's not crappy TV.
Golden Palace.
That sounds like crappy TV.
It's the Golden Girls spinoff.
Oh, really?
Where they owned a hotel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Were they all in it?
I think B. Arthur left is what it was.
I feel like that's the one that you might need.
Yeah. Well, I think B. Arthur wanted to leave the show. They didn't want to shut the show down. Others still wanted to do the show. And so this was their end game around
to get around her,
to get around that. But yeah, so let's see. Single Guy, 95 is Dead Man Walking. Biodome.
Oh.
And then.
Oh, I didn't realize he was in Biodome.
A couple episodes of Picket Fences. Then the
Cable
Guy.
Oh, he's one of the scientists, I think, inside the dome. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Then The Cable Guy. Then The Fan.
Oh, man. The Fan's a good movie.
I
like Mars Attacks.
Now you're at The Jackal.
Okay. Man, I didn't realize. Okay.
Which is post Mr. Show.
Okay. All right. That's where he gets his arm blown off by the sweet, sweet rail gun that apparently is a thing.
And now he is a YouTuber. Video game player, the Jablinski show or whatever.
I mean, yeah, sure,
it's awesome
when you do that kind of stuff, and you're just like, I'll take the check that I got from the clock, the house with clocks in the walls.
That's awesome. Like he realizes that there's a huge audience. Like he gained millions and millions of followers in days because kids watch people play games on YouTube. So now Jack Black has his own YouTube
channel.
Just
play the games, kids. That's what I have to say. Just play the games,
you know,
yourself.
But honestly, like I have been of that mindset for a long time. And yes, I would rather play. But like I watch a lot of those YouTubers and Twitch guys with Ryan because he enjoys it. And just like in watching, I get it. And Ninja actually said something in an interview with Jimmy Fallon. I don't know if you watched that interview. So like Ninja's the, you know, most popular video game streamer in the world. He was on with Jimmy Fallon promoting his New Year's Eve thing he did. And Jimmy Fallon's like, so why do people like to watch people play games? And he's like, well, why do people watch football? Like, can you go out and perform like they can? Like, you're watching the best of the best and their skill, and it's right. like these gamers, like, you may play games, but you can't do what they do in that game. And so it's like you're watching other people. Why don't you go out and be a pro, whatever? And so I get it.
I guess my feeling is go out and, you don't have to be pro, but just go out and play.
Yeah, yeah. I get the, like, why do you sit and watch people do things? Like, okay, well, then you could go out and play. How many people watch football and play on recreational football leagues?
Not many.
Not, I bet you it's like 2%. You know what I mean? So, like,
I don't even
play video games, so I got none of it.
I remember I got hit. We were out playing football, full contact, no pads, no nothing, and I got hit. And I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
That sucked.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, so I'm anxious to see what he does with it. Cause I like games and I like Jack Black. So I think that's a pretty cool thing, but yeah, it's cool. It's like people adapting
with doing all these kids movies. He's been doing that fan base is going to gravitate towards that YouTube channel. Very
smart.
Quickly.
Yeah. Very smart. Yeah. He's definitely,
what did he do? He did Goosebumps.
Yeah.
House of the Clock on the Walls. He's Jumanji.
And he did Gulliver's Travels.
Even School of Rock is definitely a kid's movie.
I mean, that's, I think, probably the best of any of those. It works as a kid's movie, but it isn't a kid's movie.
School of Rock is great.
Yeah. School of Rock is
And that's a great Broadway show. Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
It is fantastic. All the kids are like prodigies. The kids in the show that are the kids in the school jam out, and it's awesome.
Oh, really?
Like the little girl, I mean, she's got to be 7 or 8 playing the bass and, you know, in pigtails, just like in the movie. And you're watching, and like the kids play better than some live acts I've seen. Like, it's just awesome. They find the most talented kids and they put them in the show. They can act and really play.
Cool.
So yeah, they play. There's no band. It's the kids in the show or the music. So
cool.
Anyway, but coming in at number 8, Bumblebee, our movie from a few weeks ago. That's $5.9 million, a 55% drop. It's at $107.5 million.
But it finally got an overseas rollout.
It did, and it is now at $207.8 before the final totals this weekend. So we are now up over $310 million on a $135 million. So it's almost triple its budget now.
If you were wondering if you were going to get a Bumblebee 2, the answer is yes. It just with one caveat, it's going to be in Mandarin.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so we were talking about it wasn't even at double its budget last week, and now it's over triple its budget. So like,
do you think you get a Bumblebee 2 or an Optimus 1?
I think Optimus is next.
I think you're going to get both.
They're going to do the origins, I think, and then they're going to come together probably. And
like have some sort of like Transformers movie with all of them? Well, that's crazy.
You think they'll finally put them all together into a Transformers movie?
That's a little too big.
Yeah.
Transvengers?
Yeah. As long as I get that Hot Rod movie, we're all right.
Bumblebee's fun. I'm excited that it's doing well because, I mean, I want to see that Optimus movie. If they can handle Optimus the way they did with Bumblebee and not the way they handled them all in Transformers, I'm on board.
Those Transformers movies are a mess.
Yeah, that action scene in Bumblebee, man, that Optimus
was really good.
Jumping off the top and landing on the plane, and that's cool. All right, and coming in at number 9, The Mule, Clint Eastwood's movie, still making money, $5.8 million and only a 36% drop. So I think that's his demo, as Dan famously coined, you know, hobbling.
Old people movie.
On their way out to the theater, they're rolling in. I mean, that's 5.8 in week 5. That's a good...
He's got the touch. I mean, not...
He's got the power?
Yeah, but I mean, just that he can still do those kind of numbers.
Sure.
These are people that grew up though with Clint Eastwood, you know, like was it Gunsmoke and the older crowd, it's like
it was Rawhide.
Yeah.
What?
It is Rawhide.
It was Rawhide.
It was really Rawhide. 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 Okay. There you go. There it is.
And the third Creature movie.
Yeah. We've been deja vu. I'm having deja vu. $5.8 million, though. I mean, that's $90.8 million domestic total and a couple overseas, but still up over 90 on a $50 million budget. So
that's why he keeps working. Like, studios are just like, yeah, dude. You do you. Like, we'll take care of it. It's not a big deal. You'll bring in some money. We'll throw it in the middle of January. Nobody will even know.
I mean, what other director this late in his career still has that much box office relevance?
No
Redford,
one.
Redford, maybe?
Scorsese.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott.
Scott's the same age as Eastwood?
No, I don't think he's the same
age.
Eastwood's
definitely the oldest.
But he's pretty deep into his career.
Yeah. What about Redford? I guess Redford can't pull in numbers like that.
No, Redford's movies don't make money like that.
Eastwood has that. I mean, when you say Clint Eastwood, and I mean, he's earned it. Look at all the Oscar winning and nominated movies.
He has a lot of iconic characters.
Right.
Right.
I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, besides Redford, I mean, Redford has some, but I mean, he's been acting for so long, and he is I mean, he's kind of like Stallone in that he's got two major franchises that, I mean, obviously he's never going to go back to them, but I mean, Dirty Harry and The Man with No Name, like those are two.
Yeah.
Still recognized. You still see people dressing up as The Man with No Name.
I was
Halloween.
Really hoping that Gran Torino was going to be kind him? Of a backdoor Dirty Harry sequel.
That it was him the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh God, that'd been so great.
But yeah, I mean, but think about all his movies, though. I mean, and even ones that aren't franchises, like Unforgiven.
Oh, so good.
Fantastic
Space
movie.
Cowboys.
But then, you know, in his directing, Million Dollar Baby, American Sniper.
He acted in Million Dollar Baby, too.
That's true. He is
yeah,
in it, too.
He acted in a lot of movies
directed. But, you know, I mean, so it's like when you think of quality, I mean, when you hear the name Clint Eastwood, yeah, he's had some misses, but, like, for the most part, you think of all those.
You didn't like Bronco Billy?
Did Coogan's Bluff?
No.
So. Any which way but loose. Every which way but loose. Any which way you can.
I liked the first one.
Yeah.
Didn't I? Yeah.
The
first one's good.
Was like a dumb 70s
yeah,
fun movie.
Yeah, second one's not good.
Yeah.
No. Any which way but loose is the first one.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Every which way but loose, any which way you can.
Right.
So, anyway, moving on to number 10, rounding out the top 10 is Vice, $3.7 million, a 35% drop, so pretty similar drop for that one. $36.3 million, though, so only a third of what Eastwood's movie has made. No money overseas. I don't have a budget on it. So, I mean, and I think, one, it's polarizing politically. Two, it obviously people are like, do I really need to hear like a biased political movie right now? Like, I think that we get enough politics every day where people aren't spending their hard-earned money necessarily to go out and watch.
It is tough because I feel like I feel like it's a good story to tell, and I feel like the right guys are telling the story. But it is difficult with political fatigue.
Just it was a little too cutesy.
I guess I didn't mind the cutesy. I guess like that's the I don't know how else to describe it. Like,
yeah, people going into it probably don't know that it's like they're
I
not
guess
going
that's
to.
True.
It's
when
cutesy,
I hear just... Adam McKay, I'm just like, okay, so I kind of know what to expect.
Right.
So with The Big Short, you know, like that kind of. But I think you're right. He did kind of lean into.
Yeah, I like The Big Short a lot.
I love The Big Short.
I didn't like this as much.
Yeah.
But
overall, I liked it, but not as much.
Yeah. So over $30 million. I don't have a budget on it. So, I mean, what do you think? 20, 15, something?
I would say 20, 25. So,
but it's getting Oscar buzz. I mean, you know, Bale won the Golden Globe for Best Actor. This
and
movie.
And thanks Satan, which I thought was hilarious.
He did.
It's funny to read the comments in those articles from people that didn't actually read the article.
Sure.
I saw the headline. This just proves what I've always known about Hollywood. And I'm like,
satanic.
Oh, my God. Can you
it's
be
satanic.
Dumber?
It's the 90s all over again with satanic panic.
Yeah.
It's
like
the 80s.
It bled into the 90s.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's the box office.
Well, but wait.
What?
Where's the movie of the
week? Where's the movie of the week? I mean, clearly, Replicas, did you skip like the number two movie or something?
Oh, yeah.
That can't be right.
I forgot what we were even talking about, to be completely honest. Like, when I was done, I was thinking like, what movie? What? Yeah. It wasn't on there? What are we talking about?
Coming in at number 74.
No, coming in at number 11 is Bohemian Rhapsody with $3.1 million. A 31% drop, $200 million domestic. Coming in at number 12, The Lucky 1-2. Replicas with $3 million.
Almost beaten out by Green Book.
You know, Keanu's just like, man.
Beale Street could talk.
And limited release.
Yeah.
And Keanu's like, I can't wait for that John Wick 3. Just make it happen. I guess, honestly, though, I don't think Keanu gives a crap.
I think Keanu is like, this sounds like a cool concept. I'm going to make it.
Yeah,
he's
no,
a cool dude. He doesn't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the paycheck doesn't matter to him.
He's got FU
money.
Yeah,
he's like, that's a clever idea.
Yeah. Let's try it.
You roll the dice on a clever idea. Sometimes you get The Matrix. Sometimes you get Replicas.
Yeah.
What are you
going to
do?
I really think he has a cool mentality.
He took the blue pill on this one.
Yeah.
He's got so much money. He's got so much money, and he gives a lot of money away. And it's like, I think he's just doing what he wants to do. For some reason, I respect, maybe because of personal life and the things I've heard, but like I respect him more than Johnny Depp just doing what he wants to do. You know, like making weird movies and like terrible. And maybe it's because like Johnny Depp was on a trajectory to be Daniel Day-Lewis, whereas like Keanu's always been like serviceable.
He's been
but,
Keanu.
Yeah. But it's like, Keanu, I'm like, man, what a cool guy doing this. Johnny Depp, I'm like, oh God.
This is a Johnny Depp movie. This has Johnny Depp written all over it.
Didn't he make it?
But it was the guy who was like a DP, somebody's DP.
Right. It was Deacon's.
What was that guy's name?
Oh my God.
But yes,
Fister.
Fister.
Yeah,
Wally
Fister.
Fister.
Yeah.
It was Nolan's DP.
How do you forget that one?
It was,
that's why I remembered it. I was like, it's a dirty joke.
It was, but it was Nolan's DP. And right. It wasn't the exact same plot, but it was still that
close.
Weird sci-fi bioengineering.
Did
type.
You see the Photoshop of him as Wolverine?
Who?
Keanu Reeves.
No.
I got to tell you, it looked pretty good.
Did you say, whoa?
I think I may have. Because, like, I mean, it's just that they gave him the hair, they gave him the chops, they gave him the jacket. I was like, huh. Look at that.
There's no way they're casting somebody in their 50s.
No.
To take over this role.
I think
role.
He's 200. Yeah. Have you seen those old Transylvania
him
photos?
Him and Nick Cage.
He looked a little bloated in this one.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know. He's got John Wick 3 coming up, so I'm sure he'll
that's
be getting into.
In the can. That's
hopefully.
Done.
Hopefully.
John Wick 3 is done? Oh, I didn't know they had already. Yeah, I didn't know they had already. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so that is the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at RogerKubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomOKeefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And of course, don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, and our Patreon account at patreon.com/realspoilers.
A very special episode just dropped on Patreon. We'll plug it again in the next one. But we decided to do something we've never done. 2019, we're going to try a lot of new things for Patreon. So come aboard. It's $5 a month or more, whatever you feel like donating. But one of our new features is commentaries. So Joe and I sat down and watched Unbreakable ahead of Glass next week, and we recorded a commentary during the whole thing. And, knowing what we know now and what Shyamalan's done before and after, and it was fun doing it. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it.
Did you know that the character from Split is in Unbreakable? A little tidbit of
really
remember when he's walking through like the thing and he touches the kid,
yeah,
and he hears all the voices.
Yeah, that's him.
That's him.
There you go. I did.
He was supposed to be in the movie and they cut it out.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, we're going to be doing some new fun and exciting things on Patreon. And of course, it helps support the show. So we appreciate everyone that chips in.
Absolutely. So anyway, that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Replicas. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, you've been warned.
Time since cardiac death.
7 hours, 15 minutes.
Boot the mapping sequence.
I'm on the verge of a breakthrough.
I am. This close. There was a crash. You and the kids died. I brought you back.
There is a reason human cloning is banned.
I'm dead.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.